Proverbs 16 now, if you'll take your Bibles. Proverbs chapter 16, right after the book of Psalms. Proverbs chapter 16, we'll be reading verses 16 through 21. Responsively, I'll start on verse number 16. You'll join me all the way through verse number 21. Proverbs chapter 16, Bible says in verse number 16, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of an humble spirit than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of his lips increaseth learning." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly thank you so much. We have been blessed beyond belief, Lord, here. Lord, you have done so much for us. Lord, we do not deserve another good thing that you have planned for us to receive. Tonight, Lord, we pause to pray, Lord, to ask for your presence in this service, Lord, not out of duty, not out of requirement, Lord, not even out of habit, but Lord, out of necessity. Lord, there is no way that one man could feed the needs of so many. Lord, we need your Spirit to speak to us tonight. Please use the message that has been prepared for us. Use our pastor, Lord, as he yields to you. May we be yielded as we listen. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I promise that by 7 o'clock I'll be done. You don't have to look at your watch. I will be. Whether I'm done or not, I'll quit. I'm putting myself on some time restraints. Our world is full of pride. Sad to say, but many Christians are filled with just as much pride as the world is. We're proud. We're arrogant. This, a result of sin. I don't know how to say this appropriately. It's not inappropriate, but pretty much show the root of all sin is us trying to be our own God.
Right.
And when we try to be our own God, that's what pride is. That we have this idea, and listen to this statement. Well, how I see it, the problem is that big eye in the middle. Well, I don't see it that way, preacher. Okay, but how does God see it? How would God want you to see it? May I say this? I don't care how you view the truth. Truth is truth.
Amen.
2 + 2 = 4. Whether you can figure it out or not, doesn't matter. Doesn't change the truth. Sun comes up in the east, sets in the west. You don't have to agree with it, but truth is truth. Well, that's not how I see it. Doesn't matter how you see it. I'm colorblind. I don't see color like you see color. It doesn't change the fact that the color's there. Doesn't change the fact that I see it one way and you may see it another way. Just because I don't see it the way someone else does, doesn't mean the truth is not the truth. Everybody got that? Now, listen to this very carefully. We have this very small view of life as only seen through our own two eyeballs. Here's the problem. 6.5 billion other people see life mainly through their own two eyeballs, and that's where the problem is. You see, just because everybody doesn't view things the way you view things, then we have problems with pride. We can't get all grumpy and upset and angry and irritated just because somebody doesn't see things the way we see it. We need to realize there is more to life than what we see. Let me say that again. We must realize there is more to life than just what we see. I do not want to be so arrogant and so full of pride to think that I am the sum total of knowledge and being the seer of life. I'm going to make a statement that may surprise you. I can't decide God's will for your life. I'm not God.
Right, that's good.
I'll sometimes meet with a young person and they'll say, Preacher, what should I do? Well, what does God want you to do? Let's use biblical principle and follow it. And as long as we're within the confines of this book, you're going to be safe. Yeah. Well, I've been around church my whole life. I'm 52 years old and been in church for 53 years. You say, that's not possible. I went to church for 9 months before I got hatched. I've been in church my whole life. May I say something? I've been around preachers that they'll walk up to you and say, well, God's called you to preach. God's called you into the ministry. Well, that's somebody being arrogant. No man can tell you that. No man can tell you that. Everybody doing okay? And by the way, if God didn't call you, don't do it. Because you'll hurt yourself and a whole lot of other people if you do. God, the creator of all life, happens to see life a whole lot better than all of us sinful humans. Why do I trust any human, especially myself, when I know, listen to this, how sinful and flawed that I am? Isn't it amazing? We trust what we think over what God said. We trust what we view that God said over what God said. We want to trust what we think we know versus what God does know. In other words, when I choose to listen to myself or weigh any other human over God, I am proud and I am arrogant. God tells us that we do best when we walk humbly. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:19, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. God said it's better not to have anything extra than to be rich and to be arrogant. There's nothing wrong with riches. Did you hear that? There's nothing wrong with having things and money. But if you get proud in the process, that's a problem. I know poor people that are more proud than some rich people I know. It doesn't mean money makes you proud. Now, listen to me very carefully here. God tells us that he wants us to do our best, and to do our best, we must walk humbly. The word humble does not mean beaten down, shy, afraid to look up, scared to do anything. Some people think that being humble is like being a whipped puppy who cowers away at anything of any excitement level at all. We've got a little white beagle at my house, my wife's dog. It's a wimpy dog. It is a sissy, girly dog. Let me tell you. And every once in a while, her nose gets the best of her, and she doesn't want to listen. And all I have to do is say, yeah, about that loud. Boy, the old tail goes underneath, and she's looking through the top of her eyes. I have never beaten that dog one time in its entire life. But she knows by the sound of my voice, it's time to humble out real quick. When I say, yeah, it means you better, yeah, real quick. She knows something's coming that she doesn't want. You know, God doesn't want his people acting like that. That's not humility, that's fear.
Right.
Listen to this. God does want us to be humble. Say, what does that mean? God wants us to live with proper perspective of position, disposition, and attitude. God wants us to live with proper perspective of position, disposition, and attitude. In other words, we need to let God be God and we ought to be man. We need to quit playing God. We're not to be God to ourselves. We're not to be God to anybody else. We are to let God be God, let man be a sinner. Now, listen to this. In other words, we need to humble ourselves. The word humble scripturally means this: to bring down or to make lower in disposition or circumstances, to put in low degree of position or estate. In other words, God wants to stay God, and he wants us to follow him. We're not to try to take God's place. I love you. We don't need to play the Baptist Pope. We don't need to be Buddha of the home. We're not supposed to play God in any aspect of life. We're to let God be God. You see, God wants us to do what Scripture says, not just the parts we like to do. Isn't it amazing we have our favorite parts of Scripture that we love to quote to everybody because we're good at that, but how about the ones you're not good at? Everybody doing okay? All right, hang on. God does not force his way on us. When we start forcing our ways on other people, we have just gotten arrogant and proud. Brother Scott, God's never come down one time, grabbed you by the nape of the neck and drug you to the altar and smacked your head in the ground and said, "Now do this." Brother Mike, God's never come to one human being, got in their face and made them get saved. Not one time. That means this: when we start forcing people to see life our way, we're not much like God, even though we might have a good intention. I know some very good, very sincere Christian people who have turned people away from God because they tried to force everybody into what they just got. Everybody doing okay? Now, I believe in soul winning. I believe in getting the gospel out. I believe in getting excited about the Bible. I believe in preaching. I'll preach at the drop of the hat, and I'll give you the hat, and I'll throw it on the floor. I'm ready for it any time. But may I say this, I also believe in being appropriate. You know, you get saved, God changes your life, but that doesn't mean everybody around you is going to change as fast or the way you did change. And for you to expect them to do so, you're arrogant, you're proud, and you're trying to play God, and God doesn't act that way. God did not force you to change anything. Now, listen to me very carefully here. It may not be our intent, but any time we lift ourselves into positions not ours to be in, we are in pride. When we expect others to view life as we do, including God, we've lifted ourselves with pride. God, I just don't understand why you did that. Or my favorite statement that I love to hear people make and cringe: well, if I were God, I would. Okay, you're not. Don't worry about it. We have just put ourselves way above where we should be. Way above. You're bringing God down here and you're wanting to understand God. You won't find one place in that book where God says, "Understand me." There is not one place in that book where God says, "Understand me." He says, "Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts are above your thoughts. My ways are above your ways." If you could figure everything about God, God is less than you are. I can show you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of places where God says, "Trust me." He doesn't necessarily want us to understand him. He wants us to trust him. In the process of obedience, we gain understanding. Understanding is a byproduct of obedience, not a requirement before obedience. If your kids looked at you and you told them to take the trash out, and they say, "Well, I don't understand why you want me to do it." Guess what? You're going to have powwow. you're going to pow and they're going to wow. I may have said it once, but it only took once and I had a firm understanding. It was planted on my backside. It didn't matter whether I understood it or not. I was supposed to obey. As you obey more and you find out that maggots come out of that stuff, it gets stinky. It gets real bad if you forget it for a week and it's 98 degrees outside and you got a dead carcass in there. Oh, it gets really ripe. And then after the trash comes, then you get made to clean out the trash can. Oh yeah, that gets real exciting. You get a firm understanding. You may not understand before, but you understand afterwards, trust me. Now, let me give you just three or four thoughts. I want to help you. Number one, humility is not lying about your ability, not being able to do something. Humility is, oh, I couldn't do that, and you could do that. Well, I don't want to show off to anybody. Nobody asked you to show off. We just need to get something done. Humility is not saying I can't do that when you really can. There are people in this room, you could join the choir. Well, I don't know that I could sing. Well, those of you that can't, do us a favor, don't do that. No, but you could. Well, I don't know if I could. Well, go see Brother Josh and we'll find out. Maybe you can just put the music together for everybody and watch them sing. I don't know. Don't ask me to do it, though. Humility is using your talent, but letting the praise go to God and not your head. I laugh. I worked at a church one time, and there was a fellow there that, I wouldn't say he was wealthy, but he had more than the average person. And he wanted everybody to know he had more than everybody, but he was trying to be humble about it. You ever meet somebody like that? He had built a little pavilion type building for this church, and on the side he would say, I don't want anybody to know I did that. But everybody knew because he told everybody. Don't tell anybody, but he told everybody individually that he did it. You say, what is that? Pride. I'm for what got done. Thank the Lord for it. But don't tell me you're humble by telling everybody individually, because everybody knew. It was a big joke. Humility is giving God the credit for what you can do. Thank God for you ladies that work in the nursery. God knows, ain't no man in the world gonna work in a nursery. Amen, fellas? Come on, it's time to say amen. I'm giving you a chance now. Don't lock us in a room with them kids. It'll be ugly. There are going to be diapers hanging off the ceiling, used or unused. It doesn't matter. And I ain't changing none of them. I didn't change his diapers. I didn't change any of my kids' diapers. I'm not changing somebody else's kids' diapers. I'm playing a deer gut all day long, but I'm not changing a diaper. Say, why? It just isn't going to happen. I'm sorry. Love you, but not that much. We are to give God the credit for what we do. I'm going to read a few verses to you. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 3. The Bible says this. Do this now, my son. Deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. We're not supposed to be so arrogant around people. We're not supposed to be bragging about everything that we do. We're just supposed to do it and give God the credit for it. The choir did a good job this morning. Well, praise the Lord for that. But if you let it go to your head, that's when it's a little different. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We can go to Matthew 23:12. I'm not going to take time to turn there. But children are pretty humble by nature. Don't know if I can do it, but let's try. And on we go. So humility is not lying about your ability to do something. It's giving God the credit for it when you get it done. Number two, humility is not depression or despondency. Humility is not depression or despondency. Humble means to put down or make low in position or rank. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 23. If you want to turn over a few pages, you may. When I get there, I'm going to read it. Proverbs 29, 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Can I tell you something? Humility, let me say it this way. Humility isn't walking around like a monk in a monastery like this all day long. Oh, I'm humble. Just because you look at the ground all day long doesn't mean you're humble. Just because you walk bent over doesn't mean you're humble. Humility is realizing you're not the expert, the final authority, and all important on every subject and every topic in this life. Guess what? Preacher doesn't know everything. Don't claim to know everything. I'll help you. Sometimes what I know is to send you to somebody that knows how to help you with what you got. Brother Mike, if somebody's got problems with an engine, probably going to send them to you or my dad or Brother Scott or Brother Sam. You don't want me working on your car. Amen, Brother Josh? Amen. You say, why? I'm not the expert in that area. I might be able to diagnose a little of it and get you in the ballpark, and I'll say, go check with one of these fellas. Have you checked with your mechanic? Here's a good mechanic. Go see him. That may be my advice to you. I don't know everything there is to know about those things. Okay, electrical. I don't even touch wire at Home Depot on the spool. I hate electricity. Colorblind people don't touch wires. Amen? Right, Brother Joe? They end up with no hair or curly hair. I'm not touching it. I hate electricity. I don't even like plugging things in and pulling the plug out. I mean, I just despise electricity. I do those things, but it's like, I'm way back on that thing. I've been bit enough times. I don't like getting bit by electricity. If I'm going to get bit, I want to see the teeth. I don't want it to just come out and get me. Now, humility is realizing you're not the expert at everything. There are things that my wife knows far better than I know. My wife is an expert shopper. That woman can save money. Her and Mung, I'm telling you. Mung's the only person I know who can go shopping and the store pays her. Just to get out of there. No. my wife is very good at that. You think I'm going to tell her how to do the shopping? Uh-uh. There are things that Brother Josh does far better than I, and I'm not about to tell him how to do something in those areas. You say, why? He's better at it than I am. As your pastor, as we hire people, I should hire people that are strong in areas I'm weak to make us all stronger. Some of the men that we'll bring on staff in years to come, they'll be very strong in areas I'm very weak. You say, why? They can protect my weakness that way. They can cover it up and we can be a stronger church because of it. Yes. One thing I admire about President Trump, he hires strength in areas where he needs strength. Yes. Humility is not depression, and humility is... you have to admit, you don't know everything about everything. Okay. If you're the type of person that has to give your opinion about everything, you're full of pride. If you have an opinion about everything and everybody knows what your opinion is, that's pride. I say this often. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You pick which one you want. But if your opinion is not asked for, keep it to yourself. I have opinions often about decisions people are making, but if they don't come see me, I don't think about it. Say why? I got plenty of other things to think about. I'm not going to put my 2 cents in and waste time thinking about something that I'm wasting my time on because I'm not going to get asked my opinion about it. So I don't think about it. Humility is not saying or thinking, I'm a worthless nobody. You walk around, I'm not worth anything. I'm a nobody. That's not humility. That's depression or despair, and nobody has to live there. Hey, that rhymed, and I didn't even try. Humility is keeping God in view in every area of your life. I'm going to make a statement here. I've made it, about a year or two ago. And don't get mad at me. I'm going to correct a statement. I don't believe God ought to be first in your life. I believe God ought to be center of your life. First means there's a second. And you have to leave number one to go to number two. When Christ or God is center of your life, it's like the hub of a wheel. Remember an old stagecoach wheel or your bike wheel? That hub is driven by the chain or driven by the motor. And as you move the hub, the spokes go around. And God wants to be the hub. He wants every aspect of your life to come back into the center of that so that he can push your entire life through life that way. He ought to be the center of our home. He ought to be the center of our marriage, of our child rearing, of our work, of our duties here at the church, of our walk in life. God wants to be the center of it, not just the first. Does that make sense to everybody? I don't think it's a wrong statement, but I think in application it's wrong. When we say, well, put God first in your life. Here's the problem. When you leave number one, you've left him. If he's center of everything you do, you're a whole lot better off. Humility is keeping God in view at every area of your life. That keeps you from comparing yourself from sinner to sinner. Do you know I am not to compare myself to Brother Barnes? I'm not to compare myself to Joe Heaney or Brother Juan. You say, why? Me comparing myself to another sinner, guess what? That's just a mud throwing contest. We're both going to be dirty. Submitting to the Holy Spirit takes humility. Saying, Holy Spirit, I need you. Guide me. Lead me. Show me how I should react and respond at this moment. I have to meet with the county tomorrow. They're rearing their ugly head about a couple things here. And they're being the county. They told me Thursday we're potentially in violation in 2 or 3 areas. And this, that, the other thing. It took me about a day to get out of the flesh. I've got to meet him at 10 o'clock tomorrow. I will be humble, but I will be firm. I'm not going to cower. But I've asked the Holy Spirit to guide me so that I don't say something in my flesh. Now, my flesh does want to respond, just so you know. My flesh wants to do a lot of things it should not do. But may I say this? I'm not going to allow my flesh to do that. I'll respond in the Holy Spirit. It's taken me a couple days to get there, but I'm getting there. And I'll let the Lord work through it, and we'll be okay. Now, if you would have asked me Thursday after the phone call, I was not in the Spirit that moment. Just so you know. I say, preacher, I can't vision you that way. Good. Nobody should. But I didn't feel like reacting in my spiritual way. By Friday, I was a little better. But not much. But by Friday, the Lord had already showed me a couple avenues by which to respond rightly and firmly to get through what we need to get through. The last couple days, he's worked on my attitude about it. It's not a personal attack. Can I tell you what's happening? The devil's pretty ticked off about Acts 20:20 in 2020. People getting saved every day. Lives being changed. People getting excited about walking with the Lord and doing things. There's people that this week, I have two people in our church, one of their first convert to Christ this week. I can tell you this, the devil's not real happy about that. And if I've got to face this over that, bring it on. Just bring it on. Preacher can take it. I can shovel it real quick. Don't worry. I know what the attack is. Everybody doing all right? Obeying the Bible takes humility. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ooh, that takes humility. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That takes spirituality. That takes humility. Following godly counsel takes humility. Pride comes in when God or others do things differently, not wrongly, but differently than the way we would do them. I used this in Sunday school. I gave Brother Josh a few things this week to get done. And I'm not going to tell you what, doesn't matter, none of your business, it was his business. He doesn't even know this story. I don't micromanage people. I give people duties and I just check to make sure things are done when they're supposed to be done. And along the way I might say, need help with any of it? And we get the job done. But I didn't hire him for me to do my work through him. I hired him to do work so I could do other work. I had given him a few things, and I won't tell you what day, but a certain day something needed done. And the day before that, I was just checking. It hadn't been done yet. And I caught myself. I wonder if I need to check. Wait a minute, you gave it to him to do. Back off. Just because it's not done when you would have done it doesn't mean it's not going to get done. I didn't even tell him that I did that. By the way, it was done when it was supposed to be done. And I got convicted about how I was approaching my own leadership. My pride was filling. But it ought to be done by now. No, you said it needed done by then. Just because in your schedule you would have done it here doesn't mean in his schedule he's going to do it there. Okay. Shut up and I'm going to keep going, right? Yep, all right, here we go. And I did. Just because it wasn't done when I would do it in my schedule, it was done when I needed it done. Why should I worry about it? Everybody doing all right? Guess what? I'm human too. I think like you do. I don't expect my staff to do everything my way. Brother Josh and Mrs. Barnes are very good at computers. I don't have one. I don't want one. That's my computer. I can handle it. That's the way I know. I'm not against them. I'm just not using one. Say why? I got plenty of other things to do than learn how to on a computer. If you typed as slow as I do, you'd understand why. Number three, and I've got to hurry. I'm to walk humbly with God. Micah chapter 6, verse number 8. I want to read this to you. It's a very interesting verse. Many ought to mark it and memorize it this year. The book of Micah is just a little few chapter book here. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. It's just after the book of Jonah. Micah chapter 6, verse number 8, the Bible says this. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? God said, What does God require of you? Well, three things. Love mercy, do justly, and walk humbly with God. One of the things God requires of us is that we walk humbly. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21 says that we are to be humble, or we're to humble ourselves in the sight of God. Satan in Isaiah 14, verses 11 through 23, got puffed up. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. Ooh, he was full of pride. How many times do we as Christians do the very same thing? By the way, Satan being filled with pride is what caused God to kick him out of heaven. And we commit the same sin. We need to realize God sees and knows all, but God doesn't control all of life yet. I am diabolically, diametrically, and every other opposed to this idea that God controls everything in life that happens. Folks, that is false doctrine. God didn't make you sin. He's not in control of that. God said he has a will for us, but he won't force it on you. God didn't wind the world up, set it down and watch it spin, and everything's playing out the way he programmed it. God only has control of what we give him control of. Now, one day he will rule and reign this world. We're coming back with Jesus for 1,000 years and doing that with him. And then after that, we're going to be in heaven forever and God's in control of it all. But until then, God gave man a free will to choose. And because we chose sin, God's not in control of everything. Everybody doing all right? He gave man a will to choose. He does not force us to do things. May I say this? We need to quit forcing people to see life the way we see it. How about we just present the truth and let them decide for themselves? Isn't that what soul winning's all about? Soul winning isn't standing there arguing with people. It's giving them the gospel, asking them to make a decision about it. And if they make the decision to get saved, great. If not, you go to the next door and knock on it. I am not there to force anybody to get saved. I am there to present the gospel. I ought to care about people enough. I ought to love people enough that they see the passion, that they see the love, that they see God in us, that we want them to get saved and that God wants them to get saved. But if they don't, if I presented the gospel, I've done what I can do. Boy, that's good stuff. What right do I have to tell God what to do? I'm a sinner. Number four, and I'm done. A humble person doesn't have to seek credit for attention. Proverbs 15:33, Proverbs 18:12, Luke 14:11, Luke 18:14. A humble person doesn't care who gets the credit. They just want to see the job get done. A humble person doesn't need to toot his own horn. And may I say this, he doesn't need to fish for other people to toot it for him either. Some won't toot their own horn, but they'll get everybody around them to toot it for them. If we learn to give God the credit and the praise, it won't matter who gets the praise. Amen. Right. That's what Pharisaism is. That's what the Pharisees did. Oh, I've been fasting for days, can't you tell? You pray for me while I fast. Well, the Bible says they've received their reward. I must quit. In conclusion, the Bible says, let me read two verses to you, and I'll give you two others as a reference here. But the book of James, you need not turn there. James chapter 4, verse number 6, the Bible says this, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Verse number 10 of James 4 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." 1 Peter 5:5-6 talks about God gives grace to the humble. Humility will give you grace when grace is needed. Guess what? Grace doesn't come when you're on the mountaintop. Grace comes when you're at the bottom. Grace comes when you got your face stuck in the mud. Grace comes when you've been in the car accident. Grace comes when you've got the news, it's cancer. Grace comes when bad news comes and you need grace. You need God to step in and you're at the bottom. If you're humble, God will give it to you. May I say this? If you humble yourself before you get in those positions, you may not be in as many of them. I didn't say you wouldn't be in any of them. But you may be in fewer of them. Sometimes God has to make you be humble. Pride goeth before destruction, the haughty spirit before a fall. Sometimes people run from God so long that the ways of their sin catches up to them and they get squashed by it. And it hurts. But sometimes that's the only way they're going to listen. Humble yourselves in the sight of God and He will lift you up. He'll give grace to the humble. How about we learn to live humbly? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. We live in a pretty proud, arrogant world. It's even crept into Christianity. We get proud about how much we know and how far we've come and how much we've grown. Maybe we just need to humble ourselves.